My next guest spent a lot of time serving our country, about 28 years in the military, now has a new book coming up. The name of this fantastic book, Ramadi Declassified, A Roadmap to Peace in the Most Dangerous City in Iraq. Colonel Tony Dean joins us. Colonel, thank you very much for taking the time this evening.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, and you really, you were there in 2006 in Ramadi. You were commanding a battalion. What do you remember going in? What was the feeling before you went into the city?
Well, you know, I was lucky enough. I had a great group of guys in my unit. And, you know, we trained real hard. And we had 6 months that we were held in Kuwait because at the time, you know, we were trying to draw down from the forces in Iraq. But things had gotten really bad. And we knew we were going into a bad situation. But we linked up with the Ready First Combat Team, commanded by then Colonel Sean McFarland, and he had some new ideas about how to win there. And, you know, the guys had a lot of resolve, a lot of, will to win, and we just went about our job.
Now, how long had you been in Iraq at that time, would you say?
Oddly enough, when we deployed, initially we were held in Kuwait for 6 months.
Oh, so this is really your first entrance into Iraq?
First entrance in Iraq. I was a Desert Storm vet, so I thought I knew what combat was about. But as it turned out, in the first couple of days, we found ourselves in this terrible fight. And we did a couple of things.
Remind us, how long was the Battle of Ramadi?
It really lasted about 8 months long. My battalion was there for about 6 months of it.
What was the typical day? You wake up in the morning, you're actively battling in the city. How would your day begin?
Well, we had soldiers out 24 hours a day, and we were manning checkpoints, and we were also conducting operations in the city, going house to house, just trying to figure out who was there and where the terrorists were and who's a good guy and who's a bad guy.
Did you feel like sitting ducks doing that? I mean, being out exposed that way?
No. We went out and we took the fight to the enemy. Uh-huh. And they would not stay and fight us. They planted a lot of IEDs, but our battle was more just trying to find the terrorists and figure out who they were instead of going in. And the Battle of Fallujah back in 2005, they went in. And it was over in a couple of weeks, but the city was destroyed in the process.
You want to take a different approach to it. Were there any civilians left in the city when you were in the middle of the battle?
400,000.
400, so amazing.
There was 400,000 civilians in the city, and they were living there, and the terrorists were hiding amongst them.
So what's it like when you're out on the streets and you really don't know who's who? Well, what does that feel like?
Well, that was the biggest challenge that we had, was trying to make sure that we were only engaging terrorists and not the population, because we also knew that we had to get the population on our side. And so we were restrained in our use of using force, but when we were attacked, we'd attack violently.
I'm talking to Colonel Tony Dean. His new book, Ramadi Declassified, is out May 31st, next week on Tuesday, right after Memorial Day weekend. RamadiDeclassified.com. So how often would you find yourself in a firefight in the six-month period?
Our guys, myself personally, I was only in contact a couple times, but our guys were getting attacked with either small arms fire or IEDs probably 6-8 times a day. Between the especially in my Bravo company, Bravo 2-6 Infantry, those guys, they were in contact 6-10 times a day. IED, small arms fire, mortar fire, the restraint that those guys use and the valor those guys showed just can't be matched.
How do you feel seeing what's happened in Iraq since we left?
Well, since we left, I'll tell you, it's been a little bit disappointing because when we left, right before we left, the Al Anbar Awakening started, and the sheikhs came over to our side. People came over to our side, and there was some momentum. And then that kind of carried in through the surge in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think back, you know, 2009, 2010, 2011, things were pretty good in Iraq. And as soon as we left, the tide shifted. The government in Baghdad kind of fell back on their sectarian ways, and they started attacking the Sunnis out in Al-Anbar, and things went bad.
Okay.
So,
do you think we could have avoided all this by simply staying put?
I think that the problems in Iraq, they're as much political as they are military problems, and I think our staying there would have provided stability to the government.
Colonel Tony Dean, his brand new book, Ramadi Declassified. And so after the 6 months, did you leave Iraq at that point?
Yeah, we left Iraq and we redeployed. My battalion was stationed in Germany at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we redeployed back to Germany. The Ray First Combat Team stuck around until the end of February. And by September the next year, the Iraqis were running 5K races down the center of town in, you know, shorts and T-shirts in a place that I wouldn't have taken a tank the year prior. So, you know, the situation can be turned around pretty quickly, and it did in Ramadi. From the work you
and your fellow soldiers did, how did that impact you personally, being in a war zone for that period of time? Were there any lasting effects on you mentally?
No. I mean, we had a job to do, and I think, most of my guys, they all looked at it as we had a job to do, and we went out and did it. And, everyone's proud of their service.
And when you see these rates of PTSD and suicide among veterans, what do you make of it? What do you make of the way we as a country are responding to it?
Well, I wish... I see all these charities for soldiers, and I see, this outpouring of support by the population of America who wants to take care of the soldiers. But in the end, it's the government's job to take care of them, and I wish I'd see some a little bit better out of, the government and the VA taking care of these guys.
What kind of job would you say the VA is doing right now?
Well, the... Director of VA has been under a lot of criticism for his statements last week about variants of Disney World.
Mm-hmm.
But, he has made some gains, but there's a long ways to go before it gets to where it should be.
Mm-hmm. Now, after Iraq, how long were you in the military then after serving in Ramadi?
Another 6 years.
6 years after that, huh?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, he ended up, I was the senior trainer for units in Germany and Hohenfels, the senior brigade trainer, and then I went back and I helped train counterinsurgency for the army in Fort Leavenworth.
Hmm. Well, looking back, what inspired you to join the military to begin with?
I'll be honest with you. Everyone has these great stories of wanting to belong to something bigger. And at the time when I was, 19 years old, I needed money for the college.
Mm-hmm.
So I joined for the college fund.
No, no kidding. What was it, what you anticipated, especially when you were in Ramadi, being in a war zone? Was that kind of what you thought it would be?
Well, I'll be honest with you. When I joined the Army in 1982, it was the height of the Cold War. And I really expected, if you think back to then, it looked like Russia was our big adversary, and you expected the Cold War someday to actually happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't happen. I'm a veteran of Desert Storm, and I was in the 24th Infantry Division, and I saw how quickly that battle ended. And I was surprised when I got to Ramadi of the just what a long-term fight it was.
The ferocity, the experience, though, of actually being in that kind of a war zone, how does it compare to what people might imagine? What would you say the reality of actually being a soldier in that condition is?
I think that there's a lot of misunderstandings. It's a lot different than the movies. And, these guys go out there every day. They go out there with their buddies. And, very professional.
Mm-hmm.
They, you know, and they'll do the hard job. They'll work till the mission's complete instead of the, you know, so when they get tired. And, you know, it's just the professionalism that you just really don't see in the movies.
I mean, I'm still stuck on the frustration that there must be in not knowing who the enemy is and even having the enemy hide behind women and children. How difficult was that to deal with?
Well, that was the biggest challenge we faced. And what we did was we reached out to the local leaders, who happened to be sheikhs in the tribal hierarchy, and we convinced them to start helping their guys join the police force, mm-hmm. because we knew that it would take them to solve the problem better than us. And they knew who the bad guys and the good guys were, so we helped them join the police force. Once we got the police force, when we arrived, there was 200 policemen in a town of 400,000. By the time we left, there was 3,000. Mm-hmm. You know, 3 months later, and a couple months after that, you know, the violence had gone down to almost nothing.
So it sounds like there are good guys and bad guys there. What, when you see a group like ISIS spreading and being able to succeed the way it has been, how do you make sense of that? That a group of these kinds of savages can pull that off?
Well, the ISIS guys are really. They're the leftover Al-Qaeda and Iraq guys. They really are. Same guys. Al-Baghdadi used to work for Al-Zahiri back in 2006. Mm-hmm. And there's this very vocal, very savvy, media savvy people who know how to, you know, get to, you know, talk to the population, say, hey, look, you guys are getting cheated, throw in with us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with the help of the sheikhs, we defeated that in 2006.
And what was it? So did you view them as evil, essentially? Or how would you describe your feelings towards these Iraq Al-Qaeda guys?
The Iraq and Al-Qaeda guys, they were evil. But that was a very small number of the people that were fighting us. Most of them were people who were just disenfranchised based on the de-vaccination policies from back in 2003. So we knew that once we killed off the hardcore Al-Qaeda guys, the rest of them we could get to some sort of political solution.
I've got to ask you one last thing, Colonel. When you look at your experience in Ramadi, do you think that it's going to take that kind of immersion by the U.S. to beat ISIS?
I don't think it's going to take that much, but I think the first thing is we've got to figure out what our goals are and figure out some sort of political way forward for Iraq, which is an absolute turmoil still with the Shia and Sunni violence. Mm-hmm. And once we do that,
you don't think we need that kind of presence on the ground, you're saying?
Not back to the 150,000 in 2006, but we need a bigger presence, and we also need to show some more leadership and helping take Ramadi back, or helping take Iraq
The book is out the 31st of May. It's titled Ramadi Declassified, A Roadmap to Peace in the Most Dangerous City in Iraq. The author was there. Colonel Tony Dean writes about his experience in Ramadi. Tony, thank you so much for the interview and for your service.
Hey, thank you. And RamadiDeclassified.com.
Colonel Tony Dean, Colonel, thanks again.
Thank you.